The Kingdom of Glory, December 1. God's glory seen in His works. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory, Isaiah 6:3. As it came from the Creator's hand, not only the Garden of Eden, but the whole earth was exceedingly beautiful. No taint of sin or shadow of death marred the fair creation. God's glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. Habakkuk 3:3. The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job 38:7. Thus was the earth a fit emblem of Him who is abundant in goodness and truth. Exodus 34:6. A fit study for those who are made in His image. The Garden of Eden was a representation of what God desired the whole earth to become, and it was His purpose that, as the human family increased in numbers, they should establish other homes and schools like the one He had given. Thus, in course of time, the whole earth might be occupied with homes and schools where the words and works of God should be studied, and where the students should thus be fitted more and more fully to reflect throughout endless ages the light of the knowledge of His glory. When Adam came from the Creator's hand, he bore in his physical, mental, and spiritual nature a likeness to his Maker. God created man in His own image, Genesis 1:27, and it was His purpose that the longer man lived, the more fully he should reveal this image, the more fully reflect the glory of the Creator. All his faculties were capable of development. Their capacity and vigor were continually to increase. Vast was the scope offered for their exercise. Glorious the field opened to their research. The mysteries of the visible universe, the wondrous works of Him who is perfect in knowledge, Job 37:16, invited man's study. Face to face, heart to heart, communion with his Maker was his high privilege. Had he remained loyal to God, all this would have been his forever. Throughout eternal ages, he would have continued to gain new treasures of knowledge, to discover fresh springs of happiness, and to obtain clearer and yet clearer conceptions of the wisdom, the power, and the love of God. More and more fully would he have fulfilled the object of his creation, more and more fully have reflected the Creator's glory. December 2, the Kingdom of Glory. Man created for God's glory. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. God created man for His own glory, that after test and trial the human family might become one with the heavenly family. It was God's purpose to repopulate heaven with the human family, if they would show themselves obedient to His every word. Adam was to be tested to see whether he would be obedient as the loyal angels or disobedient. If he stood the test, his instruction to his children would have been only of loyalty. His mind and thoughts would have been as the mind and thoughts of God. God made Adam after his own character, pure and upright. There were no corrupt principles in the first Adam, no corrupt propensities or tendencies to evil. Adam was as faultless as the angels before God's throne. These things are inexplainable, but many things which now we cannot understand will be made plain when we shall see as we are seen and know as we are known. It is recorded of the holy men of old that God was not ashamed to be called their God, Hebrews 11:16. The reason assigned is that instead of coveting earthly possessions or seeking happiness in worldly plans or aspirations, they placed their all upon the altar of God and made disposition of it to build up His kingdom. They lived only for God's glory and declared plainly that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth, seeking a better country, that is, in heavenly. Their conduct proclaimed their faith. God could trust to them His truth and could leave the world to receive from them a knowledge of His will. But how are the professed people of God today maintaining the honor of His name? How could the world infer that they are a peculiar people? What evidence do they give of citizenship in heaven? Puritan plainness and simplicity should mark the dwellings and apparel of all who believe the solemn truths for this time. Our dress, our dwellings, our conversation should testify of our consecration to God. What power would attend those who thus evince that they have given up all for Christ? The Kingdom of Glory, December 3, God's glorious plan. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:21. The plan by which alone man's salvation could be secured involved all heaven in its infinite sacrifice. The angels could not rejoice as Christ opened before them the plan of redemption, for they saw that man's salvation must cost their loved commander unutterable woe. In grief and wonder they listened to his words as he told them how he must descend from heaven's purity and peace, its joy and glory and immortal life, and come in contact with the degradation of earth, to endure its sorrow, shame, and death. He was to stand between the sinner and the penalty of sin, yet few would receive him as the Son of God. He would leave his high position as the majesty of heaven, appear upon earth, and humble himself as a man, and by his own experience become acquainted with the sorrows and temptations which men would have to endure. All this would be necessary in order that he might be able to succor them that should be tempted. When his mission as a teacher should be ended, he must be delivered into the hands of wicked men and be subjected to every insult and torture that Satan could inspire them to inflict. He must die the cruelest of deaths, lifted up between the heavens and the earth as a guilty sinner. He must pass long hours of agony so terrible that angels could not look upon it, but would veil their faces from the sight. He must endure anguish of soul, the hiding of his Father's face, while the guilt of transgression, the weight of the sins of the whole world, should be upon him. He bade the angelic host to be in accord with the plan that his Father had accepted, and rejoice that through his death, fallen man could be reconciled to God. Then joy, inexpressible joy, filled heaven. The glory and blessedness of a world redeemed outmeasured even the anguish and sacrifice of the Prince of Life. Through the celestial courts echoed the first strains of that song which was to ring out above the hills of Bethlehem. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Luke 2:14. December 4, the Kingdom of Glory, the Kingdom of Heaven in miniature. Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. Matthew 17:1-2. Evening is drawing on as Jesus calls to his side three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and leads them across the fields and far up a rugged path to a lonely mountainside. Stepping a little aside from them, the man of sorrows pours out his supplications with strong crying and tears. He prays for strength to endure the test in behalf of humanity, and he pours out his heart longings for his disciples, that in the hour of the power of darkness their faith may not fail. Now the burden of his prayer is that they may be given a manifestation of the glory he had with the Father before the world was, that his kingdom may be revealed to human eyes, and that his disciples may be strengthened to behold it. He pleads that they may witness a manifestation of his divinity that will comfort them in the hour of his supreme agony with the knowledge that he is of a surety the Son of God, and that his shameful death is a part of the plan of redemption. His prayer is heard. While he is bowed in lowliness upon the stony ground, suddenly the heavens open. The golden gates of the city of God are thrown wide, and holy radiance descends upon the mount, enshrouding the Savior's form. Divinity from within flashes through humanity and meets the glory coming from above. Arising from his prostrate position, Christ stands in godlike majesty. The soul agony is gone. His countenance now shines as the sun, and his garments are white as the light. The disciples, awaking, behold the flood of glory that illuminates the mount. In fear and amazement, they gaze upon the radiant form of their master. Beside him are two heavenly beings in close converse with him. There Moses, who upon Sinai had talked with God, and Elijah, to whom the high privilege was given never to come under the power of death. Upon the mount, the future kingdom of glory was represented in miniature, Christ the King, Moses a representative of the risen saints, and Elijah of the translated ones. The Kingdom of Glory, December 5, still future, Thy Kingdom Come, Matthew 6:10. The disciples of Christ were looking for the immediate coming of the Kingdom of His glory, but in giving them this prayer, Jesus taught that the Kingdom was not then to be established. They are to pray for its coming as an event yet future. But this petition was also an assurance to them. While they were not to behold the coming of the kingdom in their day, the fact that Jesus made them pray for it is evidence that in God's own time it will surely come. The kingdom of God's grace is now being established as day by day hearts that have been full of sin and rebellion yield to the sovereignty of His love. But the full establishment of the kingdom of His glory will not take place until the second coming of Christ to this world. Not until the personal advent of Christ can His people receive the kingdom. The Savior said, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25:31-34. When the Son of Man comes, the dead are raised incorruptible, and the living are changed. By this great change they are prepared to receive the kingdom. Man in his present state is mortal, corruptible, but the kingdom of God will be incorruptible, enduring forever. Therefore, man in his present state cannot enter the kingdom of God. But when Jesus comes, He confers immortality upon His people, and then He calls them to inherit the kingdom of which they have hitherto been only heirs. If ye are Christ's, all things are yours, 1 Corinthians 3:23-21. But you are as a child who is not yet placed in control of his inheritance. God does not entrust to you your precious possession, lest Satan by his wily art should beguile you as he did the first pair in Eden. Christ holds it for you, safe beyond the spoiler's reach. December 6, the Kingdom of Glory. Why not now? For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 31:34. Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." Matthew 24:14. His kingdom will not come until the good tidings of His grace have been carried to all the earth. Hence, as we give ourselves to God and win other souls to Him, we hasten the coming of His kingdom. Only those who devote themselves to His service pray in sincerity, "Thy kingdom come." The petition, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," is a prayer that the reign of evil on this earth may be ended, that sin may be forever destroyed and the kingdom of righteousness be established. Then in earth as in heaven will be fulfilled all the good pleasure of His goodness, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Christ will not be satisfied until the victory is complete, and He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied, Isaiah 53:11. All the nations of the earth shall hear the gospel of His grace. Not all will receive His grace, but a seed shall serve Him. It shall be counted to the Lord for a generation, Psalm 22:30. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. And the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. Daniel 7:27, Isaiah 11:9, and 59:19. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto the Zion, "Thy God reigneth." Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places, for the Lord hath comforted His people. The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah 52:7-10. The Kingdom of Glory, December 7. Looking into Eternity. Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh, Luke 21:28. If the church will put on the robe of Christ's righteousness, withdrawing from all allegiance with the world, there is before her the dawn of a bright and glorious day. God's promise to her will stand fast forever. Truth passing by those who despise and reject it will triumph. Although at times apparently retarded, its progress has never been checked. Endowed with divine energy, it will cut its way through the strongest barriers and triumph over every obstacle. What sustained the Son of God during his life of toil and sacrifice? He saw the results of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Looking into eternity, he beheld the happiness of those who through his humiliation had received pardon and everlasting life. His ear caught the shout of the redeemed. He heard the ransomed ones singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. We may have a vision of the future, the blessedness of heaven. In the Bible are revealed visions of the future glory, scenes pictured by the hand of God, and these are dear to his church. By faith we may stand on the threshold of the eternal city and hear the gracious welcome given to those who in this life cooperate with Christ, regarding it as an honor to suffer for his sake. As the words are spoken, "Come ye blessed of my Father," they cast their crowns at the feet of the Redeemer, exclaiming, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Matthew 25:34 and Revelation 5:12-13. There the redeemed greet those who led them to the Savior, and all unite in praising him who died that human beings might have the life that measures with the life of God. The conflict is over. Tribulation and strife are at an end. Songs of victory fill all heaven as the ransomed ones take up the joyful strain. "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain and lives again, a triumphant conqueror." December 8, the Kingdom of Glory. Who are eligible? The wise shall inherit glory, Proverbs 3:35. God has elected a character in harmony with his law, and anyone who shall reach the standard of his requirement will have an entrance into the kingdom of glory. Christ himself said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life," John 3:36. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. And in the Revelation he declares, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Revelation 22:14. As regards man's final salvation, this is the only election brought to view in the Word of God. Every soul is elected who will work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. He is elected who will put on the armor and fight the good fight of faith. He is elected who will watch unto prayer, who will search the Scriptures and flee from temptation. He is elected who will have faith continually and who will be obedient to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The provisions of redemption are free to all. The results of redemption will be enjoyed by those who have complied with the conditions. Satan is ever at work endeavoring to pervert what God has spoken, to blind the mind and darken the understanding, and thus lead men into sin. This is why the Lord is so explicit, making his requirements so very plain that none need err. God is constantly seeking to draw men close under his protection, that Satan may not practice his cruel, deceptive power upon them. He has condescended to speak to them with his own voice, to write with his own hand the living oracles. And these blessed words, all instinct with life and luminous with truth, are committed to men as a perfect guide. Every chapter and every verse of the Bible is a communication from God to men. If studied and obeyed, it will lead God's people as the Israelites were led by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The Kingdom of Glory, December 9, preparing to live with angels. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Revelation 12:1. We have no doubt that the doctrines we hold today are present truth, and that we are nearing the judgment. We are preparing to meet Him who, escorted by a retinue of holy angels, is to appear in the clouds of heaven to give the faithful and the just the finishing touch of immortality. We embrace the truth of God with our different faculties, and as we come under the influence of that truth, it will accomplish the work for us which is necessary to give us a moral fitness for the kingdom of glory and for the society of the heavenly angels. We are now in God's workshop. Many of us are rough stones from the quarry, but as we lay hold upon the truth of God, its influence affects us. It elevates us and removes from us every imperfection and sin of whatever nature. Thus, we are prepared to see the King in His beauty and finally to unite with the pure and heavenly angels in the kingdom of glory. It is here that this work is to be accomplished for us, here that our bodies and spirits are to be fitted for immortality. We are in a world that is opposed to righteousness and purity of character and to a growth in grace. Wherever we look, we see corruption and defilement, deformity and sin. And what is the work that we are to undertake here just previous to receiving immortality? It is to preserve our bodies holy, our spirits pure, that we may stand forth unstained amid the corruptions teeming around us in these last days. The light shines clearly, and none need be ignorant, for the great God Himself is man's instructor. He designs that the great subject of health reform shall be agitated and the public mind deeply stirred to investigate, for it is impossible for men and women with all their sinful, health-destroying, brain-enervating habits to discern sacred truth through which they are to be sanctified, refined, elevated, and made fit for the society of heavenly angels in the kingdom of glory. December 10, the kingdom of glory. Learn the song of triumph now. I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. Exodus 15:1. This song and the great deliverance which it commemorates made an impression never to be effaced from the memory of the Hebrew people. From age to age it was echoed by the prophets and singers of Israel, testifying that Jehovah is the strength and deliverance of those who trust in Him. That song does not belong to the Jewish people alone. It points forward to the destruction of all the foes of righteousness and the final victory of the Israel of God. The prophet of Patmos beholds the white-robed multitude that have gotten the victory, standing on the sea of glass mingled with fire, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, Revelation 15:2-3. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake, Psalm 115:1. Such was the spirit that pervaded Israel's song of deliverance, and it is the spirit that should dwell in the hearts of all who love and fear God. In freeing our souls from the bondage of sin, God has wrought for us a deliverance greater than that of the Hebrews at the Red Sea. The daily blessings that we receive from the hand of God, and above all else the death of Jesus to bring happiness and heaven within our reach, should be a theme for constant gratitude. What compassion, what matchless love that God has shown to us, lost sinners, in connecting us with Himself to be to Him a peculiar treasure. We should praise God for the blessed hope held out before us in the great plan of redemption. We should praise Him for the heavenly inheritance and for His rich promises. Praise Him that Jesus lives to intercede for us. All the inhabitants of heaven unite in praising God. Let us learn the song of the angels now, that we may sing it when we join their shining ranks. Let us say with the psalmist, "While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." Psalm 146:2. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Psalm 67:5. The Kingdom of Glory, December 11, while we wait. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Luke 12:35-36. Now is the time to prepare for the coming of our Lord. readiness to meet him cannot be attained in a moment's time. Preparatory to that solemn scene, there must be vigilant waiting and watching combined with earnest work. So God's children glorify him. Amid the busy scenes of life, their voices will be heard speaking words of encouragement, faith, and hope. All they have and are is consecrated to the Master's service. Christ tells us when the day of his kingdom shall be ushered in. He does not say that all the world will be converted, but that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. By giving the gospel to the world, it is in our power to hasten the coming of the day of God. Had the church of Christ done her appointed work as the Lord ordained, the whole world would before this have been warned, and the Lord Jesus would have come to the earth in power and great glory. Living power must attend the message of Christ's second appearing. We must not rest until we see many souls converted to the blessed hope of the Lord's return. In the days of the apostles, the message that they bore wrought a real work, turning souls from idols to serve the living God. The work to be done today is just as real, and the truth is just as much truth. Only we are to give the message with as much more earnestness as the coming of the Lord is nearer. The message for this time is positive, simple, and of the deepest importance. We must act like men and women who believe it, waiting, watching, working, praying, warning the world. This is our work. I have been deeply impressed by scenes that have recently passed before me in the night season. There seemed to be a great movement, a work of revival going forward in many places. Our people were moving into line, responding to God's call. My brethren, the Lord is speaking to us. Shall we not heed his call? Shall we not trim our lamps and act like men who look for their Lord to come? December 12, the Kingdom of Glory, homeward bound. Then the King shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. The coming of Christ is nearer than when we first believed. The great controversy is nearing its end. The judgments of God are in the land. They speak in solemn warning, saying, Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44. We are living in the closing scenes of this earth's history. Prophecy is fast fulfilling. The hours of probation are fast passing. We have no time, not a moment to lose. Let us not be found sleeping on guard. Let no one say in his heart or by his works, My Lord delayeth his coming. Matthew 24:48. Let the message of Christ soon return sound forth in earnest words of warning. The Lord is soon to come, and we must be prepared to meet him in peace. Let us be determined to do all in our power to impart light to those around us. We are not to be sad, but cheerful, and we are to keep the Lord Jesus ever before us. He is soon coming, and we must be ready and waiting for his appearing. Oh, how glorious it will be to see him and be welcomed as his redeemed ones. Long have we waited, but our hope is not to grow dim. If we can but see the King in his beauty, we shall be forever blessed. I feel as if I must cry aloud, homeward bound. We are nearing the time when Christ will come in power and great glory to take his ransomed ones to their eternal home. Long have we waited for our Savior's return, but nonetheless sure is the promise. Soon we shall be in our promised home. There Jesus will lead us beside the living stream flowing from the throne of God and will explain to us the dark providences through which on this earth he brought us in order to perfect our characters. There we shall behold with undimmed vision the beauties of Eden restored, casting at the feet of the Redeemer the crowns that he has placed on our heads, and touching our golden harps we shall fill all heaven with praise to him that sitteth on the throne. The Kingdom of Glory, December 13. What a reward! If any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. 1 Corinthians 3:14. Glorious will be the reward bestowed when the faithful workers gather about the throne of God and of the Lamb. When John in his mortal state beheld the glory of God, he fell as one dead. He was not able to endure the sight, but when the children of God shall have put on immortality, they will see him as he is, 1 John 3:2. They will stand before the throne, accepted in the Beloved. All their sins have been blotted out, all their transgressions borne away. Now they can look upon the undimmed glory of the throne of God. They have been partakers with Christ in his sufferings. They have been workers together with him in the plan of redemption. And they are partakers with him in the joy of seeing souls saved in the kingdom of God, there to praise God through all eternity. In that day the redeemed will shine forth in the glory of the Father and the Son. The angels, touching their golden harps, will welcome the King and his trophies of victory. A song of triumph will peal forth, filling all heaven. Christ has conquered. He enters the heavenly courts accompanied by his redeemed ones, the witnesses that his mission of suffering and sacrifice has not been in vain. There are homes for the pilgrims of earth. There are robes for the righteous, with crowns of glory and palms of victory. All that has perplexed us in the providences of God will in the world to come be made plain. The things hard to be understood will then find explanation. The mysteries of grace will unfold before us. Where our finite minds discovered only confusion and broken promises, we shall see the most perfect and beautiful harmony. We shall know that infinite love ordered the experiences that seemed most trying. As we realize the tender care of Him who makes all things work together for our good, we shall rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I urge you to prepare for the coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven. Prepare for the judgment, that when Christ shall come to be admired in all them that believe, you may be among those who will meet Him in peace. December 14, the Kingdom of Glory. Christ's glorious appearing. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Matthew 25:31. The voice of God is heard from heaven, declaring the day and hour of Jesus' coming, and delivering the everlasting covenant to His people. Like peals of loudest thunder, His words roll through the earth. The Israel of God stand listening with their eyes fixed upward. Their countenances are lighted up with His glory. Soon there appears in the east a small black cloud about half the size of a man's hand. The people of God know this to be the sign of the Son of Man. In solemn silence they gaze upon it as it draws nearer the earth, becoming lighter and more glorious, until it is a great white cloud, its base a glory like consuming fire, and above it the rainbow of the covenant. Jesus rides forth as a mighty conqueror. With anthems of celestial melody, the holy angels, a vast, unnumbered throng, attend him on his way. The firmament seems filled with radiant forms, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Revelation 5:11. No human pen can portray the scene. No mortal mind is adequate to conceive its splendor. The righteous cry with trembling, "Who shall be able to stand?" Revelation 6:17. The angel's song is hushed, and there is a period of awful silence. Then the voice of Jesus is heard, saying, "My grace is sufficient for you." 2 Corinthians 12:9. The faces of the righteous are lighted up, and joy fills every heart. And the angels strike a note higher and sing again. The King of Kings descends upon the cloud, wrapped in flaming fire. The heavens are rolled together as a scroll. The earth trembles before him, and every mountain and island is moved out of its place. The wicked pray to be buried beneath the rocks of the mountains rather than meet the face of him whom they have despised and rejected. Those who would have destroyed Christ and his faithful people now witness the glory which rests upon them. In the midst of their terror, they hear the voices of the saints in joyful strains exclaiming, "Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us." Isaiah 25:9. The Kingdom of Glory, December 15. Victory over death. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. The voice of the Son of God calls forth the sleeping saints. From the prison house of death they come, clothed with immortal glory, crying, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15:55. The living righteous are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the voice of God they were glorified, now they are made immortal, and with the risen saints are caught up to meet their Lord in the air. Before entering the city of God, the Savior bestows upon his followers the emblems of victory and invests them with the insignia of their royal state. Upon the heads of the overcomers, Jesus with his own right hand places the crown of glory. For each there is a crown bearing his own new name and the inscription, Holiness to the Lord. In every hand are placed the victor's palm and the shining harp. Then as the commanding angels strike the note, every hand sweeps the harp strings with skillful touch, awaking sweet music in rich melodious strains. Rapture unutterable thrills every heart, and each voice is raised in grateful praise. Before the ransomed throng is the holy city. Jesus opens wide the pearly gates, and the nations that have kept the truth enter in. Then that voice, richer than any music that ever fell on mortal ear, is heard saying, Your conflict is ended. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. Now is fulfilled the Savior's prayer for his disciples, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. John 17:24. Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jude 24. Christ presents to the Father the purchase of his blood. All the wonders of redeeming love, the rapture of that hour when the infinite Father, looking upon the ransom, shall behold his image. December 16, the kingdom of glory. Joy everlasting. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah 35:10. When Christ came to this earth the first time, he came in lowliness and obscurity, and his life here was one of suffering and poverty. At his second coming, all will be changed. Not as a prisoner surrounded by a rabble will men see him, but as heaven's king. Christ will come in his own glory, in the glory of his Father, and in the glory of the holy angels. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels, the beautiful, triumphant sons of God, possessing surpassing loveliness and glory, will escort him on his way. In the place of a crown of thorns, he will wear a crown of glory, a crown within a crown. In the place of that old purple robe, he will be clothed in a garment of whitest white, so as no fuller on earth can white it. And on his vesture and on his thigh a name will be written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To his faithful followers, Christ has been a daily companion, a familiar friend. They have lived in close, constant communion with God. Upon them the glory of the Lord has risen. In them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ has been reflected. Now they rejoice in the undimmed rays of the brightness and glory of the King and his majesty. They are prepared for the communion of heaven, for they have heaven in their hearts. With uplifted heads, with the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness shining upon them, with the rejoicing that their redemption draweth nigh, they go forth to meet the Bridegroom. A little longer, and we shall see the King in his beauty. A little longer, and he will wipe all tears from our eyes. Then by innumerable voices will be sung the song, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Revelation 21:3. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter 3:14. The kingdom of glory, December 17. Home at last. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. As your senses delight in the attractive loveliness of the earth, think of the world that is to come, that shall never know the blight of sin and death, where the face of nature will no more wear the shadow of the curse. Let your imagination picture the home of the saved, and remember that it will be more glorious than your brightest imagination can portray. In the varied gifts of God in nature, we see but the faintest gleaming of His glory. And by, the gates of heaven will be thrown open to admit God's children, and from the lips of the King of Glory, the benediction will fall on their ears like richest music. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. Then the redeemed will be welcomed to the home that Jesus is preparing for them. I saw Jesus lead the redeemed company to the gate of the city. He laid hold of the gate and swung it back on its glittering hinges and bade the nations that had kept the truth enter in. Within the city there was everything to feast the eye. Rich glory they beheld everywhere. Then Jesus looked upon his redeemed saints. Their countenances were radiant with glory, and as he fixed his loving eyes upon them, he said with his rich musical voice, I behold the travail of my soul and am satisfied. This rich glory is yours to enjoy eternally. Your sorrows are ended. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Language is altogether too feeble to attempt a description of heaven. As the scene rises before me, I am lost in amazement. Carried away with the surpassing splendor and excellent glory, I lay down the pen and exclaim, Oh, what love, what wondrous love! The most exalted language fails to describe the glory of heaven or the matchless depths of a Savior's love. December 18, the Kingdom of Glory, Eden restored. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2:7. The Garden of Eden remained upon the earth long after man had become an outcast from its pleasant paths. The fallen race were long permitted to gaze upon the home of innocence, their entrance barred only by the watching angels. At the cherubim-guarded gate of paradise, the divine glory was revealed. Hither came Adam and his sons to worship God. Here they renewed their vows of obedience to that law, the transgression of which had banished them from Eden. When the tide of iniquity overspread the world, and the wickedness of men determined their destruction by a flood of waters, the hand that had planted Eden withdrew it from the earth. But in the final restitution, when there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation 21:1, it is to be restored more gloriously adorned than at the beginning. Then they that have kept God's commandments shall breathe in immortal vigor beneath the tree of life, and through unending ages the inhabitants of sinless worlds shall behold in that garden of delight a sample of the perfect work of God's creation untouched by the curse of sin, a sample of what the whole earth would have become had man but fulfilled the Creator's glorious plan. Adam is reinstated in his first dominion. Transported with joy, he beholds the trees that were once his delight, the very trees whose fruit he himself had gathered in the days of his innocence and joy. He sees the vines that his own hands have trained, the very flowers that he once loved to care for. His mind grasps the reality of the scene. He comprehends that this is indeed Eden restored. Restored to the tree of life and the long-lost Eden, the redeemed will grow up to the full stature of the race in its primeval glory. The last lingering traces of the curse of sin will be removed, and Christ's faithful ones will appear in the beauty of the Lord our God, Psalm 90:17, in mind and soul and body reflecting the perfect image of their Lord. O wonderful redemption, long talked of, long hoped for, contemplated with eager anticipation, but never fully understood. The Kingdom of Glory, December 19, all suffering ended. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. Pain cannot exist in the atmosphere of heaven. In the home of the redeemed there will be no tears, no funeral trains, no badges of mourning. The inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Isaiah 33:24. One rich tide of happiness will flow and deepen as eternity rolls on. The time has come to which holy men have looked with longing since the flaming sword barred the first pair from Eden, the time for the redemption of the purchased possession. Ephesians 1:14. The earth, originally given to man as his kingdom, betrayed by him into the hands of Satan and so long held by the mighty foe, has been brought back by the great plan of redemption. All that was lost by sin has been restored. God's original purpose in the creation of the earth is fulfilled as it is made the eternal abode of the redeemed. There the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Isaiah 35:1. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Isaiah 55:13. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and a little child shall lead them. Isaiah 11:6. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. One reminder alone remains: our Redeemer will ever bear the marks of his crucifixion. Upon his wounded head, upon his side, his hands and feet are the only traces of the cruel work that sin has wrought. The great controversy is ended. Sin and sinners are no more. The entire universe is clean. One pulse of harmony and gladness beats through the vast creation. From him who created all flow life and light and gladness throughout the realms of illimitable space. From the minutest atom to the greatest world, all things animate and inanimate in their unshadowed beauty and perfect joy declare that God is love. December 20, the Kingdom of Glory. Eden life renewed. They shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Isaiah 65:21-22. There will be employment in heaven. The redeemed state is not one of idle repose. In the earth made new, the redeemed will engage in the occupations and pleasures that brought happiness to Adam and Eve in the beginning. The Eden life will be lived, the life in garden and field. There every power will be developed, every capability increased. The grandest enterprises will be carried forward. The loftiest aspirations will be reached, the highest ambitions realized. And still there will appear new heights to surmount, new wonders to admire, new truths to comprehend, fresh objects of study to call forth the powers of body and mind and soul. His servants shall serve him. Revelation 22:3. The life on earth is the beginning of the life in heaven. Education on earth is an initiation into the principles of heaven. The life work here is a training for the life work there. What we now are in character and holy service is the sure foreshadowing of what we shall be. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Matthew 20:28. Christ's work below is his work above, and our reward for working with him in this world will be the greater power and wider privilege of working with him in the world to come. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Isaiah 43:12. This also we shall be in eternity. In our life here, earthly, sin-restricted though it is, the greatest joy and the highest education are in service. And in the future state, untrammeled by the limitations of sinful humanity, it is in service that our greatest joy and our highest education will be found, witnessing. And ever as we witness learning anew the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. The Kingdom of Glory, December 21, Everlasting Happiness. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. During his ministry, Jesus lived to a great degree an outdoor life. Much of his teaching was given in the open air. In the Bible, the inheritance of the saved is called a country. There the heavenly shepherd leads his flock to fountains of living waters. The tree of life yields its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the service of the nations. There are ever-flowing streams, clear as crystal, and beside them waving trees cast their shadows upon the paths prepared for the ransomed of the Lord. There the wide-spreading plains swell into hills of beauty, and the mountains of God rear their lofty summits. On those peaceful plains, beside those living streams, God's people, so long pilgrims and wanderers, shall find a home. The Bible presents to our view the unsearchable riches and immortal treasures of heaven. Man's strongest impulse urges him to seek his own happiness, and the Bible recognizes this desire and shows us that all heaven will unite with man in his efforts to gain true happiness. It reveals the condition upon which the peace of Christ is given to men. It describes a home of everlasting happiness and sunshine where no tears nor want shall ever be known. Let all that is beautiful in our earthly home remind us of the crystal river and green fields, the waving trees and living fountains, the shining city and the white-robed singers of our heavenly home, that world of beauty which no artist can picture, no mortal tongue describe. To dwell forever in this home of the blessed, to bear in soul, body, and spirit not the dark traces of sin and the curse, but the perfect likeness of our Creator, and through ceaseless ages to advance in wisdom, in knowledge, and in holiness, ever exploring new fields of thought, ever finding new wonders and new glories, ever increasing in capacity to know and to enjoy and to love, and knowing that there is still beyond us joy and love and wisdom infinite, such is the object to which the Christian's hope is pointing. December 22, the Kingdom of Glory. With my guardian angel. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 18:10. Not until the providences of God are seen in the light of eternity will we understand what we owe to the care and interposition of his angels. Celestial beings have taken an active part in the affairs of men. They have appeared in garments that shone as the lightning. They have come as men in the garb of wayfarers. They have accepted the hospitalities of human homes. They have acted as guides to benighted travelers. Though the rulers of this world know it not, yet often in their councils angels have been spokesmen. Human eyes have looked upon them. Human ears have listened to their appeals. In the council hall, in the court of justice, heavenly messengers have pleaded the cause of the persecuted and oppressed. They have defeated purposes and arrested evils that would have brought wrong and suffering to God's children. To the students in the heavenly school, all this will be unfolded. Every redeemed one will understand the ministry of angels in his own life. The angel who was his guardian from his earliest moment. The angel who watched his steps and covered his head in the day of peril. The angel who was with him in the valley of the shadow of death, who marked his resting place, who was the first to greet him in the resurrection morning. What will it be to hold converse with him and to learn the history of divine interposition in the individual life, of heavenly cooperation in every work for humanity? With the Word of God in his hands, every human being may have such companionship as he shall choose. He may dwell in this world, in the atmosphere of heaven, drawing nearer and nearer the threshold of the eternal world until the portal shall open and he shall enter there. He will find himself no stranger. The voices that will greet him are the voices of the holy ones who, unseen, were on earth his companions, voices that here he learned to distinguish and to love. He who through the Word of God has lived in fellowship with heaven will find himself at home in heaven's companionship. The Kingdom of Glory, December 23, Heaven's School. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Isaiah 54:13. Heaven is a school, its field of study the universe, its teacher the Infinite One. A branch of this school was established in Eden, and the plan of redemption accomplished, education will again be taken up in the Eden school. Between the school established in Eden at the beginning and the school of the hereafter, there lies the whole compass of this world's history. The history of human transgression and suffering, of divine sacrifice and of victory over death and sin. Not all the conditions of the first school of Eden will be found in the school of the future life. No tree of knowledge of good and evil will afford opportunity for temptation. No tempter is there, no possibility of wrong. Every character has withstood the testing of evil, and none are longer susceptible to its power. There, when the veil that darkens our vision shall be removed, and our eyes shall behold the world of beauty of which we now catch glimpses through the microscope, when we look on the glories of the heavens now scanned afar through the telescope, when the blight of sin removed, the whole earth shall appear in the beauty of the Lord our God. Psalm 90, verse 17. What a field will be open to our study. There the student of science may read the records of creation and discern no reminders of the law of evil. He may listen to the music of nature's voices and detect no native note of wailing or undertone of sorrow. In all created things he may trace one handwriting. In the vast universe behold God's name writ large, and not in earth or sea or sky one sign of ill remaining. Those who have made the most of their privileges to reach the highest attainments here will take these valuable acquisitions with them into the future life. They have sought and obtained that which is imperishable, the capability to appreciate the glories that eye hath not seen nor ear heard will be proportionate to the attainments reached in the cultivation of the faculties in this life. December 24, the Kingdom of Glory. Christ, our teacher still. My people shall know my name. They shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Isaiah 52:6. Restored to his presence, man will again, as at the beginning, be taught of God. We have not the slightest idea of what will then be opened before us. With Christ we shall walk beside the living waters. He will unfold to us the beauty and glory of nature. He will reveal what he is to us and what we are to him. Truth we cannot know now because of finite limitations we shall know hereafter. In the world to come, Christ will lead the redeemed beside the river of life and will teach them wonderful lessons of truth. They will see that a master hand holds the world in position. They will behold the skill displayed by the great artist in coloring the flowers of the field, and will learn of the purposes of the merciful Father who dispenses every ray of light. And with the holy angels, the redeemed will acknowledge in songs of grateful praise God's supreme love to an unthankful world. There will be open to the student history of infinite scope and of wealth inexpressible. The history of the inception of sin, of fatal falsehood in its crooked working, of truth that, swerving not from its own straight lines, has met and conquered error, all will be made manifest. The veil that interposes between the visible and the invisible world will be drawn aside, and wonderful things will be revealed. With unutterable delight we shall enter into the joy and the wisdom of unfallen beings. We shall share the treasures gained through ages upon ages spent in contemplation of God's handiwork, and the years of eternity as they roll will continue to bring more glorious revelations, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3:20 will be forever and forever the impartation of the gifts of God. Every right principle, every truth learned in an earthly school will advance us just that much in the heavenly school. We must get an education here that will enable us to live with God through the eternal ages. The education we begin here will be perfected in heaven. We will only just enter a higher grade. The Kingdom of Glory, December 25, our curriculum. For our knowledge is imperfect, but when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. 1 Corinthians 13, 9 and 10, Revised Standard Version. By faith we should look to the hereafter and grasp the pledge of God of a growth of intellect, the human faculties uniting with the divine, and every power of the soul being brought into direct contact with a source of light. We may rejoice that all that has perplexed us in the providences of God will then be made plain. Things hard to be understood will find an explanation. There all who have wrought with unselfish spirit will behold the fruit of their labors. The outworking of every right principle and noble deed will be seen. Something of this we see here, but how little of the result of the world's noblest work is in this life manifest to the doer. How many toil unselfishly and unworriedly for those who pass beyond their reach and knowledge. Parents and teachers lie down in their last sleep, their life work seeming to have been wrought in vain. They know not that their faithfulness has unsealed springs of blessing that can never cease to flow. Only by faith they see the children they have trained become a benediction and inspiration to their fellow men, and the influence repeat itself a thousandfold. Many a worker sends out into the world messages of strength and hope and courage, words that carry blessings to hearts in every land, but of the results he, toiling in loneliness and obscurity, knows little. So gifts are bestowed, burdens are borne, labor is done. Men sow the seed from which above their graves others reap blessed harvests. They plant trees that others may eat the fruit. They are content here to know that they have set in motion agencies for good. In the hereafter, the action and reaction of all these will be seen. Of every gift that God has bestowed, leading men to unselfish effort, a record is kept in heaven. To trace this in its wide-spreading lines, to look upon those who by our efforts have been uplifted and ennobled, to behold in their history the outworking of true principles, this will be rewards of the heavenly school. December 26, the Kingdom of Glory. Exploring the universe. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. Now we see through a glass darkly. We behold the image of God reflected as in a mirror in the works of nature and in his dealings with men. But then we shall see him face to face without a dimming veil between. The loves and sympathies which God himself has planted in the soul shall there find truest and sweetest exercise. The pure communion with holy beings, the harmonious social life with the blessed angels and with the faithful ones of all ages who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, the sacred ties that bind together the whole family in heaven and earth, these help to constitute the happiness of the redeemed. Their immortal minds will contemplate with never-failing delight the wonders of creative power, the mysteries of redeeming love. There will be no cruel, deceiving foe to tempt to forgetfulness of God. All the treasures of the universe will be open to the study of God's redeemed. Unfettered by mortality, they wing their tireless flight to worlds afar, worlds that thrilled with sorrow at the spectacle of human woe and rang with songs of gladness at the tidings of a ransomed soul. With undimmed vision they gaze upon the glory of creation, suns and stars and systems, all in their appointed order, circling the throne of deity. Upon all things, from the least to the greatest, the Creator's name is written, and in all are the riches of his power displayed. And the years of eternity as they roll will bring richer and still more glorious revelations of God and of Christ. As knowledge is progressive, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. The more men learn of God, the greater will be their admiration of his character. As Jesus opens before them the riches of redemption and the amazing achievements in the great controversy with Satan, the hearts of the ransomed thrill with more fervent devotion, and with more rapturous joy they sweep the harps of gold, and 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of voices unite to swell the mighty chorus of praise. The Kingdom of Glory, December 27. Rejoice with Jerusalem. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21:2. There is the New Jerusalem, the metropolis of the glorified New Earth, a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Saith the Lord, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Isaiah 62:3 and Revelation 21:11 and 24. Isaiah 65:19 and Revelation 21:3. In the city of God there shall be no night. None will need or desire repose. There will be no weariness in doing the will of God and offering praise to his name. We shall ever feel the freshness of the morning and shall ever be far from its close. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Revelation 22:5. The light of the sun will be superseded by a radiance which is not painfully dazzling, yet which immeasurably surpasses the brightness of our noontide. The glory of God in the Lamb floods the holy city with unfading light. The redeemed walk in the sunless glory of perpetual day. In the visions of the prophet, those who have triumphed over sin and the grave are now seen happy in the presence of their Maker, talking freely with him as man talked with God in the beginning. Be ye glad, the Lord bids them, and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Isaiah 65:18-19. As the prophet beholds the redeemed dwelling in the city of God, free from sin and from all marks of the curse, in rapture he exclaims, Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her. Isaiah 65:6-10. December 28, the Kingdom of Glory, eternal security. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Zechariah 14:9. The great plan of redemption results in fully bringing back the world into God's favor. All that was lost by sin is restored. Not only man, but the earth is redeemed to be the eternal abode of the obedient. For 6,000 years, Satan has struggled to maintain possession of the earth. Now God's original purpose in its creation is accomplished. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7:18. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalm 113:3. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. Psalm 111:7-8. The sacred statues which Satan has hated and sought to destroy will be honored throughout a sinless universe. Through Christ's redeeming work, the government of God stands justified. The Omnipotent One is made known as the God of love. Satan's charges are refuted and his character unveiled. Rebellion can never again arise. Sin can never again enter the universe. Through eternal ages, all are secure from apostasy. By love, self-sacrifice, the inhabitants of earth and heaven are bound to their Creator in bonds of indissoluble union. The work of redemption will be complete. In the place where sin abounded, God's grace much more abounds. The earth itself, the very field that Satan claims as his, is to be not only ransomed but exalted. Our little world under the curse of sin, the one dark blot in his glorious creation, will be honored above all other worlds in the universe of God. Here, where the Son of God tabernacled in humanity, where the King of Glory lived and suffered and died, here, when he shall make all things new, the tabernacle of God shall be with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Revelation 21:3. and through endless ages, as the redeemed walk in the light of the Lord, they will praise Him for His unspeakable gift, Emmanuel, God with us. The Kingdom of Glory, December 29, full compensation. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Hebrews 10:35-37. The long-suffering of God is wonderful. Long does justice wait, while mercy pleads with the sinner. But righteousness and judgment are the establishment of His throne. Psalm 97:2. The world has become bold in transgression of God's law. Because of His long forbearance, men have trampled upon His authority, but there is a line beyond which they cannot pass. The time is near when they will have reached the prescribed limit. Even now they have almost exceeded the bounds of the long-suffering of God, the limits of His grace, the limits of His mercy. The Lord will interpose to vindicate His own honor, to deliver His people, and to repress the swellings of unrighteousness. In this time of prevailing iniquity, we may know that the last great crisis is at hand. When the defiance of God's law is almost universal, when His people are oppressed and afflicted by their fellow men, the Lord will interpose. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Daniel 12:1. From garrets, from hovels, from dungeons, from scaffolds, from mountains and deserts, from the caves of the earth and the caverns of the sea, Christ will gather His children to Himself. By human tribunals, the children of God have been adjudged the vilest criminals, but the day is near when God is judge Himself. Psalm 50:6. When the decisions of earth shall be reversed, the rebuke of His people shall be taken away, white robes will be given to every one of them. Whatever crosses they have been called to bear, whatever losses they have sustained, whatever persecution they have suffered, even to the loss of their temporal life, the children of God are amply recompensed. They shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Revelation 22:4. December 30, the Kingdom of Glory. Look up. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Isaiah 40:1-2. In the darkest days of her long conflict with evil, the Church of God has been given revelations of the eternal purpose of Jehovah. His people have been permitted to look beyond the trials of the present to the triumphs of the future. When, the warfare having been accomplished, the redeemed will enter into possession of the promised land. These visions of future glory, scenes pictured by the hand of God, should be dear to His church today. When the controversy of the ages is rapidly closing and the promised blessings are soon to be realized in all their fullness. To us who are standing on the very verge of their fulfillment, of what deep moment, what living interest are these delineations of the time to come? Events for which, since our first parents turned their steps from Eden, God's children have watched and waited, longed and prayed. Fellow pilgrim, we are still amid the shadows and turmoil of earthly activities, but soon our Savior is to appear to bring deliverance and rest. Let us by faith behold the blessed hereafter as pictured by the hand of God. He who died for the sins of the world is opening wide the gates of paradise to all who believe on Him. Soon the battle will have been fought, the victory won. Soon we shall see Him in whom our hopes of eternal life are centered. And in His presence the trials and sufferings of this life will seem as nothingness. The former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded world without end. Look up, and let your faith continually increase. Let this faith guide you along the narrow path that leads through the gates of the city and to the great beyond, the wide, unbounded future of glory that is for the redeemed. The Kingdom of Glory, December 31, God's Justice Vindicated. As I live, saith the Lord, to me every knee shall bow and every tongue acknowledge God. Romans 14:11, New English Bible. For what was the great controversy permitted to continue throughout the ages? Why was it that Satan's existence was not cut short at the outset of his rebellion? It was that the universe might be convinced of God's justice in his dealing with evil, that sin might receive eternal condemnation. In the plan of redemption, there are heights and depths that eternity itself can never exhaust, marvels into which the angels desire to look. The redeemed only of all created beings have in their own experience known the actual conflict with sin. They have wrought with Christ, and as even the angels could not do, have entered into the fellowship of his sufferings. Will they have no testimony as to the science of redemption? Nothing that will be of worth to unfallen beings? In his temple doth everyone speak of his glory, Psalm 29:9. And the song which the ransomed ones will sing will declare the glory of God. Great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways, thou King of ages. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. Revelation 15:3-4, Revised Version. As if entranced, the wicked have looked upon the coronation of the Son of God. They see in his hands the tables of the divine law, the statutes which they have despised and transgressed. Every question of truth and error in the long-standing controversy has now been made plain. The results of rebellion, the fruits of setting aside the divine statutes, have been laid open to the view of all created intelligences. The working out of Satan's rule in contrast with the government of God has been presented to the whole universe. Satan's own works have condemned him. God's wisdom, his justice, and his goodness stand fully vindicated. It is seen that all his dealings in the great controversy have been conducted with respect to the eternal good of his people and the good of all the worlds that he has created. With all the facts of the great controversy in view, the whole universe, both loyal and rebellious, with one accord declare, "Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Revelation 15:3. This is the end of the book, God's Amazing Grace.